I know. Do you know where the best feeling in the world is?
Ooh, is it, you know, when you finally beat a boss after messing up loads of times?
I mean, that's a good one.
Or actually, you know, when you unlock a new skin in a game without having to buy it.
Yeah, solid.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, actually, what about when you blue shell someone last second and then you win the race?
I mean, they are all good options.
Well, it's not one of them.
It's not one of them. They're good options, but I think it's when you've got your new game loaded up, you are ready to go, you're getting locked in, but you've got a chocolatey friend.
Hey, now we're talking,
absolutely,
bro.
They are there, ready to give you a little power up, a little energy boost before you get going.
Especially if it's a lovely milk chocolate slab between two crisp biscuits.
You know the one, I know. It makes the world's most satisfying snap when you bite into it. It's got to be a pickup art.
Pick up. Oh, yeah. Oh, are you going for the OG pickup? You know the one with the blue box?
Yeah, this blue box.
That blue box?
Yeah, this is really good. I mean, I'm also dabbling with the salted caramel as well.
Okay.
There are loads of different flavors out there. Whichever one you go for, there is no better snack for when you're getting ready to get into a big gameplay session, about to pick up your controller and get into it.
Yeah, and they're super easy to eat as well. No chocolatey fingers over the controllers. Nah. And that's thanks to the two crisp biscuits hugging the chocolatey slab.
Nobody wants chocolate marks on their controllers, do they? Absolutely not. You can find out more by just searching for Pick Up on your phone.
Pick Up and Go.
So listen up, right? In order to listen to today's episode of Press X to Continue, we need to make sure that you have got hold of the podcast totally legally, all right? So you pick up the booklet that comes with the show, turn to page 12, and then type in the first word on line number 6. I'm just going to give you some time to go and do that. Well, congratulations. You've successfully begun this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening and doing that. Thank you very much for joining the Continue Club, for becoming an XC Beast. My name is Stefan Powell. Now, we are INLS again this week because he's off being a high-flying actor and being amazing. But don't worry, he's going to be back very, very soon. So I am once again joined by Press X stalwarts with us from the very, very beginning, Gav Murphy from RKG Video and journalist and presenter Shane Thompson. Welcome back, team.
Hello.
It's good to be back.
Let's talk about some games.
Yes. Did you enter the pickup quiz last week? Did you win?
I didn't win. I did enter. And I'm not happy about it.
Well, it's totally random. The winners are chosen at totally at random, Shay. So, you know.
Well, can you totally randomly pick me? I mean, come on.
No, that's not how this works.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
So loads for us to get into. Press X is, of course, proudly sponsored by Pickup, which is a chocolate biscuit bar, or is it actually a biscuit with chocolate, or maybe a chocolate with biscuits? It doesn't really matter. It's a snack that helps you release tension and make the most of the unpredictable moments that gaming throws at you. We are loving working with Pickup, and if Einel was here, he would say, big up, Pickup. Right, okay, so we are kicking off this week with you, Gav Murphy, sharing with us an unpopular opinion. And interestingly, the last time somebody from RKG Video was on with us and shared an unpopular opinion, it nearly broke the internet.
Look, Daniel's a controversial figure. I've seen the pamphlets that he hands out on Speaker's Corner every Saturday. They're pretty full on, to be honest. So if you don't know what we're talking about,
Daniel Cooper was with us a few weeks ago and described Metal Gear Solid as just basically Frogger, which was fantastic fighting talk, which we love here.
Did it break your heart? How did you react to his... I was genuinely a pit in my stomach. Metal Gear Solid 2 is one of the best games ever. Calling that basically Frogger. Couldn't believe it.
It was excellent.
I've got to stand by my business partner and friend, no matter what.
Through thick and thin, isn't it?
Yeah. And I say that everything he says is true.
Yeah.
So
it's an official RKG policy that Stealth Games.
Yeah, that's the company line.
Well, Gav, you get the joy of kicking us off with your unpopular opinion today. What have you got for us?
I think the terms Souls-like needs to die. Now, RKG, the company that I run with two of my best friends, we have built our foundations on the FromSoft games. We started with Dark Souls. We have played every single game since. And I think the term Souls-like just needs to be stuck in the bin because people do not understand it. And I think that it's just sort of used now as a shorthand for games that are a little bit hard, when actually the challenging aspect of those games is probably the least interesting thing about them. And I think it'd be the same as going, oh, there's a film with a shark in it. This film is Spielberg-like. And it's like, yeah, the shark in Jaws is a laugh, but it's not the most interesting thing, is it? And I think, like, also calling things Souls-like kind of implies that anyone can make those games if they just make those hard, when actually there is nobody in video games that is capable of making games on the level that From Software do in terms of, you know, the crafting of storytelling and lore, which is the best thing about those games.
Yeah. So what would you call it then? Isn't it handy to have a shorthand that says, oh, no, it's just a Souls-like?
No, because but for me, I get multiple messages a week from people who are like, oh, you guys play Dark Souls and Elden Ring and stuff. You'll love this game. It's a good Souls-like. It's a good Souls-like. And for me, it wrecks games because people were sending me that Jedi Fallen Order going, Gav, you're going to love it. You love Star Wars. You love narrative-driven games. You love FromSoft games. This is a great Souls-like. It's a brilliant Souls-like. I was pumped. I was absolutely pumped. Stuck that game on. It wrecked it for me because I was just waiting for the sort of FromSoft element to drop. It doesn't come. It doesn't. That's a good game. That's a really, really good game. But I think calling something Souls-like, I'm expecting something that very few games can actually deliver. And actually, I would say nothing outside of games made by FromSoft delivers an experience that I would call Souls-like.
Shay, what do you make of it? Because is it people like us, like you as a games journalist and presenter that use lazy terms like Souls-like? Is the problem here?
Are you lazy, Shay?
Me? How very dare you. No, I was preparing to be very betrayed by your unpopular opinion, but I actually do really agree. I think it's just such a nothing burger like term now. It doesn't mean anything. Absolutely. I'm not going to call out which game, but a game that was, they were like kind of advertising themselves, doing a bit of marketing, and they called tattooing a form of Souls-like. They called it a Souls-like activity, and I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
What? Yeah.
And that's when I was like, you know, that was the moment where I was like, we are so far gone. This doesn't mean anything. Put that word down. I don't want anyone to touch that word ever again. Yeah.
Dating in London is Souls-like.
Souls-like,
man.
Yeah. Because why not? Like, I just, no,
had,
I hate
we
it.
We had a similar conversation a few weeks ago about the term immersive sim. What is an immersive sim? Mm. Should our genre descriptions be more narrow? Are we trying to make things too broad there? Is that, you know, is that the problem?
I think we live in a world where everybody thinks they need to have something to say. But what I would say is very few people have anything of note to say. So I think people who work in video games, sort of like journalism and content creation and things, think that they need to have these sort of opinions and need to be able to say something about it. And I remember working in TV, and it would always happen where the person who was like the least talented boss would hear a new term, and then they would repeat that term to you about 50 times. And I think, like, after a while, it loses all meaning. The same as like roguelike, like immersive, all these different things. It's just like it becomes, it sort of becomes like wallpaper. It just means nothing. It means nothing anymore.
It's like currently, everything's got AI in it. Everything's artificial. Everything's AI. But it had AI in it anyway. You're just using it because everybody's talking about it all of a sudden.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing. I feel like where we've got to is really, really odd with the Souls-like term. And I think just boot it into space.
I've had enough. Really have. Mm-mm.
Okay, no more Souls-like, but we do need to think of an alternative phrase for if you wanted to describe a game that was like Dark Souls, don't we?
There's no game like those games.
Yeah, these games aren't even like Dark Souls. Yeah. It's the really annoying
thing.
All right,
okay, fine.
No,
take
no.
It.
No more.
or when our producers message saying, I like perverting the term deck building roguelike to fit anything at all. Like, yeah. This podcast is a game building chat like, and eating food is a games building chomp like.
Exactly. I think that's the thing. So if you went to an Italian restaurant and you ordered a pizza and then they bring you a pancake and they go, well, it's round like a pizza, so it's pizza like. And you're like, no, the roundness is the least interesting part of the pizza. Give me the cheese.
Well, look, let us know what you think of Gav's unpopular opinion. You know what to do. Find us on social media, Press X Podcast on Instagram, Press X Pod on TikTok. Get involved in the Discord. There's a link in the description on Spotify and Apple and things. Get involved, be part of the conversation. Something else has come up in the Discord from producer David, actually, who does from time to time use the Discord as a sort of personal venting space. He says, there is no good section of any game where you have to swim underwater. I always find the controls clunky. I usually die once or twice because I can't make my character get to the exit before they run out of air.
Interesting.
I have been playing Dave the Diver recently, though, and that is very good. Dave, so I'm sorry if I have to disagree with you actually on that one. That is a game about swimming underwater. It's quite fun. Did you ever play a Mickey Mouse platform game in like the 90s that was like they're trying to make it like a Mickey Mouse version of Mario? Was it Castle of Illusion? But that was really, really hard.
Yeah, it's absolutely nails. Yeah, it's very souls-like.
I feel like that had a swimming level that I remember struggling with.
They
when
all
I was a
had
kid.
Swimming levels because Sonic had swimming levels, so they were like, "Oh, we need to do that."
What did you call it again, Mickey Mouse?
Castle of Illusion.
Castle of Illusion. Let me just Google. Yeah. Is this the one I was on about?
Oh yeah.
It was so hard. It was rock solid. I swear that had a swimming level.
All of those like 90s Disney games were all souls-like. They were so hard for no reason.
Yeah, it did. So difficult. It was like impossible. Well, what was the really hard one is that Jungle Book game, isn't it? That was like basically impossible. Jungle Book, sorry, Lion King.
Lion King.
Which is very much like a souls-like, to be fair.
Very souls-like. Very souls-like. Souls-like of Disney.
Okay, right. It is time now for today's trivia brought to us by our guest quizmaster, Ainel Tomlinson.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Alright, it's trivia time. Here we go. Question. What was the game Jet Set Willy on the ZX Spectrum one of the first to do? Something that became common throughout the 1980s and 90s, but is now not necessary. So, what was the game Jet Set Willy on the ZX Spectrum one of the first to do? Something that became common throughout the 1980s and 90s, but is now not necessary.
No idea.
What was it on?
ZX Spectrum. So that was the game you had to like use MS-DOS to log in. It was like a black screen, like Alien, a black screen. Yeah. And you had to type.
Was it like...
I heard Jet Set and got excited because I was like, oh, Jet Set Radio.
And then you
like,
heard Willy.
Yeah, I was like...
Excitement through the roof.
Yeah.
Can we think about it?
We'll have the answer at the end. Reminder of the trivia leaderboard. Shane Gav are currently on 33.3%. I'm on 27.1%, so catching slowly. What was the game Jet Set Willy on the Jet Set X Spectrum? One of the first to do. Common in the 80s and 90s, but now is not necessary. Oh, I don't know. That's a tricky one.
Like,
you can,
is it something like you had to have like a... like an added-on, like RAM pack or something like
something
that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking some kind of utility, something to do with
in order to access it.
Yeah.
Well, look, you can suggest your questions. By the way, there's a secret channel in the Discord that me and Ainel can't see, and we're not annoyed about it at all. Only the production team can see it, and you know, I mean, it is our podcast, but fine, whatever. And then you can suggest your questions in there, and then we'll try and answer them in the podcast. Ainel will bring us the answer later on. What is that? That's going to annoy me. I have to think about that all game. Okay, look, we'll come back to that. Right, so there's been a discussion in the Discord recently about joining games late in the series. So Disney Cha posted in there about Siberia, The World Before, which is a game they enjoyed and then discovered it was game number 4 in that particular series. But then when they went back to find the third installment, they said the gameplay and graphics style is so much older than the newest game, I'm actually not enjoying it as much. And so basically shouldn't have bothered going back. Palantum then replied, playing an old game is one thing, but doing so after playing the improved sequel can be quite depressing. So have you joined a series late, and would you suggest people go back to play games? Or actually, because they've changed so much now, don't bother?
Yeah.
I had this with the Fire Emblem series, weirdly enough. So when I was playing like Smash, and when I say playing as in like not competitive, but I'd play like in tournaments and stuff, and I was like, oh, these two characters that they made up for Smash, not realizing that they'd come from Fire Emblem.
Right.
And at the time, I think like the DS games were a thing, and so I played like one of those, and I realized that actually, no, these go back like back to like Sprite, and I was kind of like, oh, this is not a bit of me. Which is blasphemous towards the Fire Emblem community, I know. Yeah. But yeah, I just found it hard to get into after that.
I did it with God of War. I'm actually replaying God of War 4 at the moment, and I just forgot how amazing.
Which one was that? The good one?
The
new one.
The new one. Okay, yeah. I'm replaying Ragnarok, the series to the sequel to the new one. Right. But I came in at God of War 4. I hadn't played. I think I'd played the originals a little bit, but bounced off them really quick because it was not my cup of tea. But I've loved 4 and Ragnarok, and think they're just absolute works of art and genius.
It happened with me with Final Fantasy 7. I'd never heard of Final Fantasy before.
Yeah.
So I was, 11 or 12 when that came out, played Final Fantasy 7, and I was just like, couldn't comprehend what I was experiencing, and then I remember people years later going like, oh, you know, play Final Fantasy 6, it's a masterpiece, you should go back and play it. And then I got it on like an emulator on my PC, I think, and I was just sitting like, are you joking? like, oh, but the story's amazing. Is this a wind up? Like, this is not even in the same universe as Final Fantasy. But it's still talked about now. Like, I mean, I never touched Final Fantasy VI because I was just like, it's just not the same thing that I
was
like.
Was it one of those you had to be there sort of moments? You know, like, because games have changed so much now. If you go back, and play Mario 64 now.
I think something happens in video games, and like, sorry to be deeply cynical, I think something happens in video games where I think people like say that they like something because they've heard somebody else say, and then that becomes like the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like when people are like, oh, Shenmue is amazing, and you play Shenmue and you're like, what's happening here? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I wish, but I think with Shenmue, maybe if you'd been around at the time, it would have been good. But Final Fantasy VI, I was like, you can't tell me you played Final Fantasy VII and that's better than Final Fantasy VI. You go back, it's just like these little things moving about, and you're like, come on, man, come on.
The thing with Shenmue is that, like, nothing happens in that game, but that's what makes it amazing.
Yeah.
Like, nothing, that game is, a nothing burger.
I wish I could have played Shenmue at the time that it
came
out.
When it first came out, when it came as they intended.
Because I just had years and years and years of people going on about it. And then when I finally played, like, the remastered version, I thought it was a big elaborate joke on me. But I could see how it would be brilliant at the time, maybe. Yeah. But not Final Fantasy VI, though.
Yeah, I can't believe, having played God of War 4 and then I can't believe that it's the same. Mm. I just can't.
Yeah.
How their brains went from, I tell you what, we had this, why don't we make it this instead? It's so different. I just can't believe they did, because at least Final Fantasy VI, I know it's different, but it's sort of the same, if you know what I mean, but much better.
Thing is, though, it's weird because I'd never played any of the God of Wars, and I wasn't really into them at all. But the thing that does my head in about God of War is there are elements of those games that they did keep. Sadly, not people constantly getting their tits out, which I think is in the originals. But which I obviously don't want. That's a joke. But the thing that bugs me about those games is like, that is, you know, one of the most beautiful stories ever, and for no reason they decided to keep in the mechanic where every sort of 2 minutes there's just a random chest you got to boot open and collect fucking orbs. We're over orbs, lads. Like, why are we getting orbs still? Like, you'd be like, son, your mother is dead. Now I will raise but we still need power-ups, so we got to do that. You know, so don't grieve too long because I need a bigger sword. Mad. Absolutely mad.
I played that game. I'm currently, like I said, replaying Ragnarok. paying zero attention to what armor I've got and what axe I'm and right, what, yeah. what power ups I've got. I don't.
Well, Ragnarok, the thing is, though, that's the systems in Ragnarok are an absolute joke. Like, I kind of liked the first one, that I liked all that new system. The second one, I remember looking at it for a bit, being like, auto.
As long as I've got the level that means I can beat things fairly easily, that's all I need.
It's basically like an axe spreadsheet.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need
Well,
this.
There's the axe, there's the shield, then there's the blades of what's it.
Yeah.
And there's the armor, and there's different bits as the gauntlets and your chest and your come on.
No.
How many bits of gold have I picked up? Come on, we've hack over
silver.
That.
How much hack silver have I got?
We're over collectibles and stuff now, surely. Yeah. Like, come on, let it go.
But I guess it's for the RPG heads out there, isn't it? Hey, it's for the lads. Do you sort of feel the same way as me and Gav, maybe share that you don't go back? Because you went back to Fire Emblem and didn't like it. Is there anything that you think, actually, this one might be worth to going back and see? Or actually just accept? Like, if you were to start playing Uncharted 4, would you go back and do the originals?
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
I don't like Uncharted very much.
Neither does I.
But I tell you what, I did go back to. So I played, and I'm kind of embarrassed by this, but I played the newer Yakuza games. So 7 and Infinite Wealth. And I was like, you know what? Let me go back to 0. Everyone's like, oh, like, you know, that's one of the best games. So I've gone back to that and I actually have been really enjoying that. 0, I feel like, has aged well in terms of, like, as a video game. Some of the story stuff is like, eh, but like, for the most part, the playing experience is quite pleasant. So that's a win for them.
Well, look, let us know if there's the games you have gone back and enjoyed, or whether if you discover a game later on in the series, just go from there. Maybe just Wikipedia the story, you know, and just don't bother. Like, okay, you're a big Mass Effect fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you say something like, I want you to experience the, you know, what's amazing about Mass Effect are the choices you make and the storytelling and the deaths of characters and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Often described as the Game of Thrones in space, isn't it, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
If you were a new player now, would you say to them, go back to the beginning, or would you start at Mass Effect Andromeda?
Oh God! Oh,
well, because that's the latest. But that's the latest in the latest series, right? So I'm putting it out there.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, I don't hate people, so I would not recommend that they start with Andromeda because that game is not good. I would say, even though Mass Effect, like 2007, the first one in the trilogy, playing that, I don't know if you've played that recently.
I played with a remaster, didn't they?
Yeah, they did remaster it, so it's the exact same as it was in 2007. Shooting is not fun.
Games
but
have changed so much since 2007. It's unplayable almost.
Yeah.
It's not unplayable, obviously. You can play it, but it's a different experience than what we're used to. Look, let us know what you think. Perhaps there's some franchises you should go back, others you don't. Let us know what you think. And if anybody can shed a light on how God of War went from that to that, then let me know. Because I can remember interviewing Corey Balrog, is that the name of the director?
Yeah, Balrog.
Fascinating bloke, like a genius of games creation, I think. And what they did to that franchise, I think, is amazing. Let us know. Get in the Discord or share on social media. Let us know what you think. Right, okay, so we've talked about that. Now, we saw something on Reddit the other day that got our attention. I wanted to know what you think about this. It came from a user called Common Caramel who shared, the one thing from back in your day, what one back in your day experience that younger players wouldn't know about? So what is the one back in my day sort of game experience that younger players wouldn't know about? And this guy said for him, it's about buying a game based purely on the cover art. Which I think is so true. Yeah. Like in the 90s, you were buying games because the cover art was cool. So I'm not saying that we're old, right? But we have experienced the change from games in like certain parts of the 90s to games of now. Mm. Other thoughts that have come in from the Discord, Demi shared playing with wired controllers. Remember wired controllers?
Yeah.
So any thoughts? And what would you share?
I think just the experience of not having memory cards and saves and stuff like that. I remember when I first played Resi 1, The guy that had the Ad Resi 1 in our street was a guy called Dave Powell, and his parents never bought him a memory card. So, because they didn't know, they had to buy one because never knew before. So we were playing Resi without the first Resi without a memory card every single day. So every single day, you start again. Every single day and see how far we can get that day. Every single day. Because now, I guess everything kind of has like an autosave and an internal memory. Whereas then you had to buy an actual thing to stick in. And if you didn't have it, or if that got corrupted, which did happen to me twice, like, or lost, you can actually just lose it or delete it or something.
Yeah. I did the same when I first bought a PS2. I didn't buy a memory card. I was playing Grand Theft Auto. I was like, oh God, I've got the same stuff.
Wow.
I was like a couple of weeks in before I got it. Some of the best cover art from the 90s, by the way. The Turtles game in the 90s from Konami for the Super Nintendo had an amazing cover art. Remember Toe Jam and Earl?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think I bought that on the back of just the cover art alone. Yeah. Doom had amazing cover art in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Also, just like explaining to people about getting physical copies of games now is probably like a big thing, and like having like the manual and like going through the manual, and oh my God, we just sound so old.
This I know we are, we are. But Woogly said using manuals instead of in-game tutorials, or putting the game disc into a CD player to listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah. Someone on Twitter the other day posted a picture of, they have like a physical CD-ROM of like Hollow Knight, which obviously is not old, but like seeing like a CD-ROM for a PC is like unheard of. Like, I don't even have like a disk drive in my PC right now. Like, that's wild. But yeah, for me, memory cards was always a big thing. Like, I remember like bragging about like a bunch of unlocks and like secret pods I'd found in like, I think one of the SSX games, went over to my friend's house, like physically took my PS2 over and realized I forgot my memory card. I was like, well, now it's going to look like I'm lying. And I'm not. It's real. I did unlock all of that stuff, but yeah, just didn't have it.
So loads of good suggestions. And Nathan's bees on. Remember demo discs with games magazines?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Loved that. Just love the old demo disc in from the games magazine. Owen's on. Blowing into cartridges when they weren't working. copying cheats out of the back of a magazine onto a scrap paper.
Yeah.
Nice.
There were always like, I remember like having, there was like a begging my mum, because being stuck in Alex the Kid in Wonderland, and begging my mum if I could ring this like premium number because there was someone on the other end that would tell you exactly how to beat a certain level.
I loved like, that's it.
Bonkers.
Yeah. I mean, I just
don't
look
bring any of that back. I have no nostalgia for that.
No. I'm just Googling some of the like 90s cover art. I remember, but like, we were talking about the 90s the day when we were talking about Lara Croft. Yeah. Some things haven't aged well, though, have they? Mm. Like, I was just thinking, I remember when I was a kid, I really thought the cover art for the Sega version of Golden Axe was banging, and I've just
I now remember why.
Yeah. But yeah, things haven't aged. Just the muscles and the meat on the dwarf. Mm. But yeah, look, let us know what you think. What would you contribute to that conversation? I think it's amazing. Games have changed so much. But you know, with your memory cards, you could only have a certain amount of stuff on there. So you had to like delete. I can remember like having to delete loads of things because I had to have the Pro Evolution Soccer thing on there, which meant all the kits were the proper kits. You could have that on your memory card. Couldn't get rid of that. And in Metal Gear Solid, one of the bosses, you had to beat him by moving the memory card from one port to the other.
Yeah. That's bonkers.
Don't get that nowadays.
No, you're not getting that. So look, yeah, let us know what your favourite bits of nostalgia. Make yourself feel old by sharing your bits of nostalgia with us on the podcast. You know what to do, PressX Pod on TikTok, PressX Podcast on Instagram, or find us in the Discord. Right, okay, it is now time for the PressX Biscuit Break, brought to you by Pickup. And we are back on our competition this week for the Biscuit Break, okay? So, Thursday, the 2nd of October, that is Thursday, the 2nd of October, at 9 a.m. You two didn't win last week, so you can try again this week. We are putting a question in the Discord, and then you will have 24 hours. It goes in at 9 o'clock in the morning. You have 24 hours to get your answers in to that question. And then we will pick a winner at random, and I've got them right here. I then post them out to you. You can win some biscuits.
Wow,
you're gonna hand deliver them to their house like the postcode lottery. That's what we've decided.
Turn up with my big Continue Clubber sticker. And,
hell yeah!
And you, I can't promise that, but I can promise you some biscuits. So there would be a question on Thursday. That's the 2nd of October at 9 o'clock. Answer the question. We will then pick a winner from those who got it right. And then if you win, you can win yourself some picker biscuits. Lovely. So pay attention to that 2nd of October. Okay, right. Since we're talking about stuff from the Discord, we were talking about James Bond. Are you excited about the new Bond, by the way? Because we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely.
I think it looks cool. Yeah.
I think it's going to be excellent. Well, because we were talking about the new Bond, a couple of people in the Discord then started talking about, remember, today's making us feel sound so old, isn't it?
Please stop.
just today? Yeah.
Shay. Shay.
Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
Oh, we haven't had fiery Shay for a while, actually. That was, I know. Some spicy Shay there. So, yeah, we are. Well, this is making us sound so old, but I've started now, so I've finished. We're talking about James Pond, which was a 90s platform game from Amiga.
Yeah.
And it got us thinking about the best parody game. So what, because parody is something that TV comedy does so well.
Yeah. Mm.
And games maybe less so. I know we've talked a lot recently about the Northern game.
Right. Thank goodness you're here.
Which is fantastic. But very rarely do parody games like that come out.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on parody games? Games that parody stuff?
There was a game. It's called, it's barely a game. It's called Dr. Langoskoff, the Tiger and the Terribly Cursed Emerald.
That's great.
So it's made by Crows.
And
they're the same people who made Stanley Parable. And it was basically a game about the behind the scenes of a game. So, and it's basically, it's voiced by, I think, Simon Amstel, I think it was.
Yeah.
And you play the person who's about to go through a video game experience, but the video game is happening the other side of the wall. So it's like them guiding you to the start of a game. I think it's about 20 minutes long. It's an experience rather than a game. But it's so funny because it's basically, this narrator is basically like guiding you to the start of the video game, but you never get to play the video game. It's fantastic. It's such a lovely little
experience.
Say
the title again, because I was too busy laughing at it in a good way.
Dr. Langoskoff, LANGESKOV. Dr. Langoskoff, the Tiger and the Terribly Cursed Emerald, a whirlwind heist.
Love that.
Yeah.
Great.
But there's barely, and there's no gameplay in it. So.
Yeah, well, a 20-minute little experience for a laugh sounds great.
Yeah.
I think you could say that probably the biggest game of all is a parody, isn't it? I mean, GTA is basically a parody. Well, parody of Hollywood, the last one. And I wondered if the new one would be a parody of modern America is my sense of it. So I think games can do it, but they don't do it on the regular share. I think it's...
No.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
This is the thing. We have too many games. Like, we should be able to get, like, weird little experiences like this or, like, games taking the piss out of like other games. Because you said GTA, I think of like Saints Row, and I know Saints Row started off as a very serious like GTA like, but then it got very silly afterwards. Like come like Saints Row 3 and 4, like they were ridiculous, like just parodying everything.
Yeah,
they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, actually, look at that. I didn't think it's Saints Row. I mean, you could argue that Resident Evil is a parody of B movies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first thing I was thinking of as well is like those South Park games, like the good ones, like the Stick of Truth and the Fracture Butthole.
That's a good show. They're just
absolutely bang on the money when it comes to sort of just aping sort of RPGs and things like that. Those games are actually unbelievable. And I think because it's South Park, it doesn't really get its flowers because people are like, it's just a bit silly, isn't it? But that's fantastic.
Some suggestions have come in. Do you remember this? I don't think I ever played it, but I vividly remember the front cover. Gex, Deep Cover Gecko.
Oh, yeah. I remember. I don't think I ever played those.
It's like a spy game parody, I think.
Yeah, and stuff. Yeah. I remember those.
Earthworm Jim. There was the Earthworm Jim game.
Earthworm Jim's an unbelievable platform game, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess that's a parody. But yeah, like, if you think of you know, games and parodying life or like you see a lot more in other mediums, then share them with us because we'd like to experience. I'd like to... I'd like to use games to laugh a bit more. I think I just use them to be serious or to escape a lot. But it'd be fun if we could laugh a bit more playing them. So yeah, get your suggestions in the Discord or find us on social media. You know what to do. Right then, okay. The big question then from today's show. So in case you're new, what this is, our producers have been scheming behind our backs whilst the show's been going on to come up with a question for us all to answer based on what we've talked about. And this week, Paddy, this was all producer Owen's work. So bravo, producer Owen. Which game would you rather play? Would you rather play a Metroidvania Balatro, a Souls-like Fortnite, a Battle Royale Hollow Knight, or a deck-building Bloodborne? What do you think?
I'm not touching any of that.
Like, these are my trigger words. I hate all of those words separately put together.
None of that sounds like a laugh.
Well, we've got to answer. This is a quiz. Yeah, I'm playing a Souls like Fortnite. I'm in. I'm doing it. You basically die after you land and repeat.
What was the Bloodborne one?
A deck building Bloodborne.
I like deck building tabletop games, so I know how to do that. So I'll go, and I love Bloodborne, so I'll go for that.
Okay, right. So there we are.
Gun to my head, an actual blunderbuss to my head. I would do that. Yeah.
You love Hollow Knight, by the sounds of it, Shay. So are you playing a Battle Royale Hollow Knight?
Oh, absolutely not. What was the Balatro one?
A Metroidvania Balatro, so you can go forward and back.
Oh God. Oh no, that's. I mean, if I have to choose...
You do. It's what we've gone through, yeah.
Then it will be that, Metroidvania Balatro. That's cursed. Those words do not belong together at all.
Yeah.
It's only because I love Balatro.
Which one would you choose, then? Those of you listening or watching on YouTube, what would you choose? A Metroidvania Balatro, a Souls-like Fortnite, a Battle Royale Hollow Knight, or a deck-building Bloodborne? Someone somewhere, maybe those phrases have been used to sell a new game. If it has, please share the screenshot with us because we have to talk about that. Right then, let's reveal the answer to this week's question. Now, the question was, once again, from our erstwhile quizmaster, Einar Tomlinson.
Alright, it's trivia time. Here we go. Question. What was the game Jet Set Willy on the ZX Spectrum one of the first to do? Something that became common throughout the 1980s and 90s, but is now not necessary.
I think, but it's just that second part of the question really threw me, because I think Jet Set Willy was like almost like cyberpunk levels of broken. I think it was like a big bug, and they had to release a patch for it. I think it was maybe it's the first game that they had to release a patch for. But also the only thing that I know about Jet Set Willy, and this is amazing, because I think the only reason I know this, because I think they kind of parodied it weirdly in, what was that Charlie Brooker Bandersnatch was it?
Yeah.
So I think Jet Set Willy was like, because I think it was made in the UK. I think there was a competition that if you were like the first to win it, you got to go have dinner with like the developer, and they would like helicopter you in or something. I think there was like, I'm sure that is Jet Set Willy or Manic Miner or something like that. Oh.
Okay, so you're saying something about like it being broken and them having to fix it.
I think it was like a patch. I think it was like a they had to patch it.
Okay, Shay, what are you saying?
I'm coming up blank. Is it not old enough, but is it not the first game that you would save on a floppy disk? It's just the second part of that question that I was like,
yeah.
And you know what? I'm gonna give us some grace here. I think we're a lot younger than we purport to be, because none of us know this game or this system very well. So
I was going
to
say, today on the podcast, we've talked about the ZX Spectrum.
That is way before our
Golden Axe.
It's way before our time.
I think someone said Alex the Kid earlier on.
Yeah.
So all games from like way, way too old. I'm going to say that you needed a peripheral of some description to play it. Okay, well let's get the answer then. Is anybody right? Let's find out.
All right, the answer it had a copy protection system. Spectrum games could easily be pirated onto cassette tapes, so in order to play, you had to input a color code from a password sheet that was randomly drawn when you loaded up the game. In 1984, when the game came out, color photocopying wasn't simple, so copying the 180 codes off the sheet was pretty tricky.
To be fair, wow. The intro to this podcast...
Yeah, the intro kind of gave it away.
Now starts to make a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There we go. Producer David messing with our heads, that's what that is.
Well done. Very good. Well done.
I won't bother updating the leaderboard because...
Don't worry about that.
Doesn't count.
It doesn't really count.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's been lovely chat. Lovely to have the some of the OG gang back together again. Any last business? Anything you want to get off your chest? Anything you want to share?
No, I'm excited. I'm excited to go play some games and eat some biscuits.
Yeah. Well, get yourselves in the competition now, and you might be able to get yourselves some nice new biscuits, and then you can decide whether you keep them in the fridge or the cupboard, which is like
very important.
Big talking point on the Discord. Well, look, that is it for this episode of Press X. To continue, don't forget to get involved by messaging us on social media, Press X Pod on TikTok, Press X Podcast on Instagram, getting the Discord server as well. We will be back on Tuesday for some more fun with the returning Einel Tomlinson. And we will see you then. And to the orgy members of Press X, thank you for being back with us. We'll see you again very soon.
Bye.
Bye.